the book of Acts. For the sake of time, I just want to read one verse. Stand with me, please. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Now I'm having, Miss A, what did I do with the chalk? Is it, oh, it's up here. Oh, all right. It's right there where it needs to be. That's awesome. Thank you. Acts chapter 8, I want to read verse number 2. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Let's read it again. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. If God will help me this morning, I want to preach on this subject, the tomb of a known soldier. I don't want this message to take away from the tomb of the unknown soldier. But there's more than one battle going on in America. There's not just a battle for our freedom, but there's a spiritual battle being raised in America. And Stephen is a man that was on the right side of that battle. So we've got his headstone here today. And we're going to visit with Stephen a little bit today and see what God might have written under Stephen's name, the man of God. The first martyr, Jesus died, was buried, rose again. Thank God for men that come right behind him. Said, we'll carry that message, even if it cost us our life. And that's what our men did when they went off to serve in the war. They realized they may not come home. Many came home, and they'll never be the same. But thank God for America. But thank God for Calvary. Thank God for men that have stood in a different kind of battle. When God dealt with my heart this week, I couldn't help but think about Brother Jack. He stood in a battle for years and years and years. And he stood on the right side. And I think you'll see some parallels between his life and the life of Stephen. You can be seated. Pray with me, please. Father, I thank you this morning for the Word of God. I thank you, God, this morning for the liberty that we have, not just in the country, but, Lord, the liberty that we have in the Spirit. Lord, you said to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And, Lord, this freedom is not so that we can serve sin or serve ourselves, but that we might be a servant to others. Help us in the message, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. I believe if God was filling out the headstone of Stephen, it might say something like this: here lies Stephen, God's man. Stephen was God's man. I want to show you in the scripture some things that I hope and pray will be a blessing to you. First of all, if you go back to chapter number 6, in the Word of God. In verse number 1, the Bible said, in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And verse number 5, the Bible said, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Let me say, first of all, in the message today, I believe under here lies Stephen, a man of God. I believe that you would find this written, and Stephen would never write this about himself, but I believe God would write this on the tomb of a known soldier. I don't know if I can get it to come out where you can see it or not. I'm just going to write it in big letters here. Full. And then I'll give you the rest of it. Of the Spirit. Stephen was a man that was full of the Spirit. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, the Scripture tells us over and over again here. It says, look ye out among you, men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. There's actually several things here about this fullness that we're going to examine. The Bible said he was full of faith. The Bible said he was full of the Holy Ghost. And then if you look down in verse number 9, the Bible said he was full of power. I don't know about you, but I believe that's something we could use some more of in our churches. Men and women full of faith, full of the Spirit, and full of power. I believe that would be written on the tombstone of this man named Stephen, a man of God. He was full of the Spirit. When a man is full of the Spirit, I just want to give you three things quickly. In verse number 7, the Bible said, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. You're going to like this, Brother Jason. When a man's full of the Holy Ghost, his faith is spreading. Amen. And that Stephen was a man that had a great faith, but he didn't keep it to himself. It was spreading around to others. I believe his faith was spreading. But not only that, look in verse number 11. The Bible said they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. Not only when a man is full of the Holy Ghost is his faith spreading, but I'm going to tell you something else. The foe is stirring. You let a man get full of God, say amen, I'm going to do something for God, and old devil's going to get stirred up, amen. You let a church get full of God and get started doing something for God, and the foe's going to get stirred up, amen, and try his best, amen, to work his way in and hinder the work of God. So I see two things so far. His faith is spreading. The foe is stirring. But look at verse 15. In verse 15, the Bible said, and all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him and saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Glory to God. I said his faith is spreading. The foe is stirring. But I'm going to tell you his face is shining. Say amen. Glory to God. The Bible said, let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Here's a man that didn't let the foe get him down. Say amen. He didn't let the enemy get him down. The Apostle Paul said in one place, thanks be to God, which causes us always to triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, I don't believe Stephen was trembling. I don't believe he was fearful. I believe he had a faith, beloved, that knew he was going to see him through. Amen. They threatened Stephen's life, and I believe he had this attitude. You can't scare me with heaven. Amen. Thank God for a man called Stephen. It would say, here lies Stephen, God's man. And the first thing God would write on the headstone was full of the Spirit. The second thing that God would write on the headstone of Stephen, and we'll look in chapter number 7, then said the high priest, are these things so? So he's given Stephen an opportunity to voice his defense. I'll tell you something right now, beloved. If you'll study this, it'll bless your heart. Stephen's not trying to get off the hook. He's not trying to defend anything. You know what he's doing? I've said this before. I think I might have mentioned it last time you preached, Brother Jason. He's starting with them right where they are. He's starting with them in that old Bible. And the next thing that God would write on his headstone, not only full of the Spirit, but he would write this: he's faithful. Watch this. To the Scripture. You know what a lot of men will do? They'll be faithful to the Scripture as long as it's convenient. That bunch in Washington, D.C., when somebody dies, they'll read you a verse of Scripture. But they won't read you about the babies in Psalm 139. They won't read you about drunkenness. They won't read you, beloved, what the Bible says about sorcery and the drug culture. They won't read anything about adultery. Amen. But here's a man that was faithful to the Scripture. He started talking to him about Abraham. He said, Pastor, why? I love Stephen. Man, the more I study him, the more I love him. He's setting them up. I mean, big time. Amen. He's going to take them into a history lesson. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, he's faithful to the history of the Scripture. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? He talks about Abraham. He talks about Jacob. He talks about Joseph. He talks about Moses. And beloved, these are characters that this outfit knew about. Amen. They knew about them, but they didn't know what these characters were pointing to. Not only was Stephen faithful to the Scripture in that he was faithful to the history of the Scripture. By the way, let me just stop time out right here and interject something. We've lost our mind in this country trying to rewrite history. You can't rewrite it. It happened. Amen. And you can't just go through history, amen, and say, well, we'll take this, not take this, not change. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I thank God I've got an old book that's right on target, amen. I want to be faithful to the Scripture and faithful to the history of the Scripture. But beloved, listen, Stephen was not only faithful to the history of the Scripture. Watch this now. Stephen was faithful to the heart of the Scripture. You know what all that old Bible's about? I'm talking about the Old Testament. Every bit of it. Listen, I'm going to show you here in a minute. But every bit of it. You say, Pastor, why did they kill them lambs? It was pointing to something. It was pointing to the fact that God had already told Adam and Eve, he had taught them in the garden when he slayed the animals and made for them coats of skins, that there's no covering outside of the blood. And in the Old Testament, that blood would put off their sin from year to year. But it was pointing towards another sacrifice. It was pointing towards the Lamb of God that would take away. That's the whole heart of Stephen's message. He's not just accurate in the history. He's accurate in the heart of the Scripture. Amen. That is supposed to be pointing us to Jesus. Beloved, let me say this. I love our church. But God help us if all we can do is point people to Bible Way Baptist Church. We better point them to a cross where Jesus Christ bled and died for our sin. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm telling you, beloved, Stephen was faithful to the Scripture. Look at it with me here. I'm talking about the heart of the Scripture now. And you know, he's doing some subtle things in his message. He's telling them, you know, God don't need your temple. He don't dwell in houses made with hands. Say amen. By the way, beloved, God don't dwell in this house. Say amen. He dwells in this house. Glory to God. Amen. He dwells in the believer. We're the temple of the living God. They didn't understand that. They were worshiping their temple and missing the God of the temple and missing the heart of the Scripture. Watch in verse 48. And I'll read verse 47 as well in chapter 7. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. Brother John, that'd go good with this morning's Sunday school lesson. Oh, God, you can't build him a little house to live in. Say amen. He's too big for that. Amen. He's everywhere. Amen. Little boy in Sunday school, they taught the little boy in Sunday school about Jesus having a desire to come into your life and having a desire to change your life. Having a desire to save you from sin. They taught that one Sunday. Then the next Sunday they got talking about God's omnipresence. And they got talking about his omnipotence, how big he is, and the fact that he's everywhere. And a little boy raised his hand at the end of the class, said, last Sunday you said we could receive him into our life. And today you're talking about how big he is. He said, it looks like to me, if I was to receive somebody like that into my life, he'd stick out somewhere. You'll get that after a while. Say amen. You say, what's going on in chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8? I'll tell you what. God's a sticking out in Stephen's life. He's on the inside. And beloved, he's a sticking out. You can see God working in his life. Watch this now. I love Stephen. He reminds me of John the Baptist when he took that bony finger and said to Herod, it ain't lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Oh, you say, I'm going to tell you something right now. John the Baptist could visit the average Baptist church and he'd thin it out in a hurry. Let me tell you something stronger than that. Our Lord Jesus could visit the average Baptist church. He hurt my feelings. He talked about my sin. He talked about the sin in my family. I'm going to tell you something right now. Beloved, I serve a God that's no longer winking at sin, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. We can repent or perish, whichever one we want to do. That's what the Bible said. Amen. Watch him now. I love him. Hath not my hand. But the Bible said here, heaven's my throne, earth my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Look at verse 51. Oh, I love it. He set them up good now, Brother Jason. He's been talking about the history. And now, oh, they're listening. They've got their ears wide open. But now, beloved, he's going to talk about the heart of the matter. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people listen to a preacher that'll tickle their ears. But they're done when he steps on their heart. One old fella told a preacher one time, he said, preacher, he said, you got all over my toes. That preacher looked at him and said, that just proves one thing. He said, what's that, preacher? He said, that just proves I'm a bad aim. He said, I wasn't aiming for your toes. I was aiming for your heart. Honey, I'm going to tell you, Stephen's not aiming for their toes. He's aiming for their heart. Watch what he said, beloved. He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have you not your fathers persecuted, and they have not slain, which showed before of the coming of the Just One? Stephen's telling them, hey, all of this history that I'm sharing with you was pointing towards Calvary and the Just One, the Lord Jesus Christ. He laid it on them, didn't he? You stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart. He that hardeneth his heart and stiffeneth his neck, the Word of God said, shall be cut off, and that without remedy. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Beloved, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Beloved, the Bible said here, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. You know what they're saying? That fellow y'all just killed, he's the Just One. Y'all the ones, amen. Y'all the ones. Y'all are the ones. And I'm telling you, beloved, you say, Pastor, what preaching like that do? The Bible said here, whom you have now betrayed and have now been the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels. Watch this now. He said, y'all received the law, but you've not kept it. Guess what? Keeping the law is an impossibility for everybody except for one. That's the just one. The Lord Jesus is the only one that fulfilled the law. All of us fall short of that. That's why the Bible could say all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why the Bible could say if a man keeps the whole law and yet offends in one point, he's guilty of all. Brother John, that conviction you was talking about this morning, it don't matter whether somebody's 7 years old or 8 years old or 70 or 80 years old. When God opens their heart and shows them how vile and shows them how wicked that they really are and how separated they are from God, then they're in a place they can run for grace and run to the mercy of God. Beloved, listen. These men needed Stephen. They didn't know it. Watch what happened. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. But they didn't respond to that. How many's glad God cut your heart one day? Shoo-wee, I'm glad He filleted my heart. Say amen. He cut it wide open. Let me say this to you. They were cut to the heart, but they didn't respond right. And they gnashed on Him with their teeth. You know what they thought? Let me tell you what they thought. Same thing a lot of people think about the preacher. They thought he was their enemy. He's the best friend they ever seen in this world. You want to know why? Because he was faithful to the Scripture. That looks like scribbling. But anyway, faithful to the scribbling. Amen? But I'm going to tell you this. I thank God. February 22nd, 1987. Sat on the front bench of a Baptist. I thank my God Almighty that my pastor got up there and he preached that book just like it is to me, just like I was. I didn't get mad at my preacher. Say amen. I thank God for him. Say amen. Because I knew, beloved, right then, right there, it's me, oh God, standing in the need of prayer. The problem wasn't the message. The problem wasn't the preacher. The problem was me. They didn't realize that, so they gnashed on Him with their teeth. Now, I like this. I'm trying to hurry. Brother John talking about preaching the rest of your life on that other subject. This one could go a lot longer, but I'm going to try to hurry and get done right here. Watch this now. Watch this. Look at verse 55. But He, being full of the Holy Ghost, Brother Jason, this will bless you. He's finishing like he started.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Oh, if I know anything about my heart, I want to finish like I started.
Yes, amen.
I started on fire full of the Holy Ghost. I want to finish on fire full of the Holy Ghost. Unashamed of the Bible. Unashamed of Calvary. Unashamed of the blood. Unashamed of old time preaching.
Amen.
Stephen started out, man, full of faith. Full of the Holy Ghost, full of power. And he's going to finish up just the same. Well, it's time to get the chalk out again. What we got down there so far, he's full of the Spirit, right? That's what God would say. He's full of the Spirit. Can you read that, Brother Michael? That's the Scripture. You'll have to trust me, Brother Michael. Amen. Not only full of the Spirit, this is the tomb of a known soldier. How many is glad God let us know, Stephen? Put it in the Word of God. Amen. The Bible said of Abel, he being dead yet speaketh. And here's another one. Amen. He died a long time ago, but he's still talking.
Amen.
Still talking. So Stephen, he was full of the Spirit. He's faithful to the Scripture. And then I'm going to put this right here. He finished. I'll just put a W right there with the Savior. He finished with the Savior. You say, Pastor, what are you seeing in these verses? Well, first of all, in verse number 55 and verse 56, let's read them. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. That ain't all. He saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Let me ask you something. When you close your eyes in death, what are you going to see? A better way to ask that question would be, who are you going to see? Oh, I believe. You say, now, Pastor, well, I got Bible. But I'm not looking, Sister Linda, for some kind of angelic escort across the river. And the reason I'm not is the Bible said this, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me." I believe my Lord is saying, "Come on, son, your work's done." Amen. Just come on, amen, brother. My God, bless you, brother. I tell you, your work is done, and you can come on home. I'm telling you, he finished with the Savior. He was able to see him in his death. Secondly, he was able to talk to the Savior. In verse number 59, the Bible said, they stoned Stephen. And then it said this, calling upon God. Let me just say this to you this morning. This might be something that'd be easy to overlook. You don't get full of the Spirit without calling on God. You see, we need to ask Him. God, fill us. Empty us of ourselves and fill us with Thy Spirit. So what I'm trying to tell you is, not only was Stephen in the beginning full of the Spirit, but I believe Stephen in the beginning, brother, was calling on God. And what he's doing in the end, he finishes with the Savior. He gets to see the Savior, but he's still talking to him. He's still calling on God. That might seem simple to you, but you'd be surprised how many people live their life without calling on God. And they think right before the big wreck or right before the big the event that's going to take them out of this world, then they'll call on God. No, I believe with Stephen it was a way of life. He started with the Savior and he's going to finish. It reminds me of the Apostle Paul when he said, the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I fought a good fight. Then he said this, I finished my course. Brother Chris, that was personal. He that's not one of the places where he used our. We've finished our course. See, God has a course for Brother Chris. God has a course for Pastor. God has a course for Justin. A course for Brother Jason. Amen. A course for Brother Wayne. A course for Papa Taylor. Amen. And Paul couldn't talk about Stephen's course, and Stephen couldn't talk about Paul's course. But Paul could say, I finished my course. I believe that Stephen, now watch this now. The stones are already thumping him when he's calling on God. He's already, beloved, being thumped. He's being stoned. And listen, I don't believe they were throwing pea gravels at him. Somebody say amen. That's the way my son and one of my daughters did another daughter. Years ago, they had to watch her. They was left to watch Elizabeth Boo, the little one. And so they tied her hands around a tree. And they got them some little gravels and just tormented her. Amen. I don't know if Miss E found out about that or not. Amen. Till later. You find out a lot of things later. But they're thumping Stephen with big rocks. They're aiming to kill him. I want you to see this. He finished with the Savior. Not only did he see the Savior, this is the best part of all. Not only did he talk to the Savior, but in the end, Brother Jason, he was able to forgive like the Savior. This ought to speak to our hearts. Look at verse number 60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice. That makes him like the Savior. He's dying. Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. I'd ask you this morning, if somebody's thumping you with a bunch of rocks, could you pray for their forgiveness? I believe you could if you had your eyes on Jesus. This is an analogy that God just reminded me of. I got to give the Holy Spirit credit for that, but I thought of this years ago. Do y'all remember how Samson died? Samson, of course, sinned with Delilah, and they gouged his eyes out. The Philistines gouged his eyes out. He was grinding at a meal. He was doing the work of an ox or a mule. He was grinding at the meal, and they brought him up for sport one day just to make fun of him. His eyes are gouged out. He can't see. And he asked that little lad to show him the pillars, because up on top was a bunch of people mocking him. And what bothered Samson more than anything, they wasn't just mocking him, Sister Kathy, they was mocking his God. And Samson said, son, would you show me them pillars? And then here's what Samson did. He said, God, I'm paraphrasing, I'm not getting it exactly right, but he asked God to give him that strength one more time. And the Word of God said he pushed them pillars out. And that thing caved in. And the Word of God said he killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. But here's what I want you to see. I want to ask you, how do you want to die? Do you want to die like Samson? Samson died with his eyes gouged out, praying that God would avenge him of his enemies. Stephen died with his eyes on Jesus, praying that God would forgive his enemies. That's a big difference, ain't it, Brother Junior? Praying that God would forgive his enemies. Lord, lay not this sin. So here we are at the tomb of a known soldier. Here lies Stephen, God's man, full of the Spirit, faithful to the Scripture, and he finished with the Savior. If I know my heart, I know the Bible said the heart's deceitful and desperately wicked, and who could know it? But if I know my heart, I want to finish the way I started. I don't want to blow it now, but I know I'm capable of it. And so I want to be careful. I would never write these things about myself, but maybe God. Amen. Whether it's carved in that headstone or not. I was just wondering. I don't know that I've ever been over to Brother Jack's burial place, graveside. Do you know where it is, brother? Yes. We'll go over there one day because I want to see what's on the stone. I'm just curious. If we don't like it, we'll change it, Brother Jason. We'll get us some of them cordless carving tools, amen. I'm just kidding, youngins, amen. Don't look at me like that. I bet whatever's on it's good, don't you, brother? It wouldn't surprise me if the word faithful ain't on it. Amen. The tomb of a known soldier. What's your rock going to say on it? Have you ever noticed when people die? I don't know if I've ever seen a wicked man buried. Oh, they just always good. I'm going to tell you something. You can fool a man. You can even hire you a preacher to get up there and say nice things about you. But I'm going to tell you something right now. When we leave here, we've preached our own funeral. I never preach somebody else's funeral. Well, all I'm doing is trying to speak to the family and speak to the people that are there. Amen. Because that funeral's already been preached by that life. How many believe Stephen's a happy camper today? Can you imagine, brother, that it's been over 2,000 years he's been in the presence of the Lord. But I want to give you this. The Bible over and over and over and over talks about Jesus sitting at the right hand of God the Father. How did Stephen see him? Standing. A while ago, in honor of these men, in honor of our country, we stood to our feet. I'm telling you, the Son of God. Yeah. Come back tonight, we'll get into some more here, but Stephen was the first, Brother Chris, but he wasn't going to be the last. He wasn't going to be the last to give his life for the gospel's sake. Amen. Not back up. Refuse to back up. Thank you, Lord, for Stephen. I look forward to meeting him, the man of God. You say, well, you think you'll meet him? I know I will. Because he is where I was going. A place called heaven because of Calvary. Stephen's not in heaven because he preached this good message. He's in heaven because he trusted Jesus. He believed the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you for being here this morning. I've tried to be as brief as I possibly could. What a great, 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 great man of God Stephen was. I want to ask you today, do you know the Lord? Would you be willing to stand like Stephen did and give your life proclaiming the truth of the Word of God? He didn't compromise. He didn't trim the message. He got right down to the end, said, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart, knowing that they would either repent or they'd kill him. And it didn't matter to him which one they did. He was going to be faithful to the Savior. I wonder this morning, somebody say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I can remember the time, the place when God saved me. But Pastor, I've not been faithful to the Savior. You slip your hand up and just say, pray for me. God bless you.